Throughout history, men have received inspiration from a lot of different sources. Inspiration sometimes comes from nature, or sometimes an event, and maybe it comes from music, or maybe inspiration is derived from the people that you know. And sometimes, on that rare occasion, inspiration eventually produces something magnificent. Maybe it produces a tremendous work of art or music. Maybe it produces even an extraordinary leader because of the influences and inspiration of other people around them. You know, Michelangelo was inspired by Lorenzo Ghiberti. Shakespeare was inspired in part by the Bible, by his own admission. Churchill was inspired by George Clemenceau. And King, Martin Luther King, was inspired by Gandhi. They're all part of their story, the way they were inspired to do some of the things that they did in their life. So I think that all of us, at one time or another, have been inspired by someone or something. That's the way the human mind works. However, there is an occurrence when men incorrectly assign the concept of human inspiration to Christendom. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Turn in your scripture with me this morning to the second letter to Timothy. Second letter to Timothy, and we're going to be in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 this morning. As you're turning there, we're going to see how our human understanding of inspiration can be misapplied to cloud the true meaning of what Paul is trying to say to Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Follow along, men. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We're going to address two questions this morning that fall from that text. Number one is, where did the Bible come from? It's a big question. We can't answer it in 15 or 17 minutes, so we're going to give you some resources to do it. But I'm going to help you, I think, try to understand where this Bible came from. And then second, we're going to look at this question, and that is, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this book that hopefully you either have in your hand or on your device or wherever you're seeing it this morning? So here in this last letter to Timothy, Paul has been reminding Timothy that difficult days will come. You ever look around the world and say to yourself, I think we're in difficult days? This feels pretty difficult. Our world is upside down. There's so much turmoil, so much division. We're so polarized. Difficult days will come, Timothy. I think we're seeing difficult days. So Paul, at this point, is preparing his young protege, his young mentee, for what is to come. And so he says to him, listen, Timothy, I want you to be reminded of your convictions. Remember your training. Remember the Scripture, because it is going to get you through difficult days. And so he tells Timothy to stick to what he knows, to be unwavering, and don't be pushed and pulled around by the culture and what you hear and what you see. Why? Because what he knew, those Scriptures, were the source of true wisdom. We just read it there, that Paul wrote, leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then Paul writes something incredibly significant that we're going to focus on today. And it's in verse 16. Look at it again. All Scripture. What does all mean? Yeah, thank you. Everything means all. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for four things that we're going to look at. So Paul says to Timothy, these writings, Timothy, these sacred writings, they're not the work of men. They are the breath of God. Let's look at what that means. So all means all, we know that. Scripture obviously means the entirety of the Bible. When we look at Scripture in this context, he's talking about all of it. He's talking about everything in the Old Testament that was inspired, everything in the New Testament. So it's all Scripture, all 66 books of the Bible. So then let's look at the first question, how do we get the Bible? You know, when asked this question, being in the kind of position I'm in, people often say something that's not correct. Sometimes they will say, men were inspired by God to write the Bible. We hear that a lot, I think. But that's not true. That answer is false. Men were not inspired to write the Bible. What does the text actually say? All Scripture is inspired. It doesn't say anything about men being inspired. It says Scripture is inspired. So the correct answer, according to Paul, is that the Scripture was inspired by God. God didn't inspire men to write it. God inspired the words, the Scriptures himself. So let's look at the origin of that word, inspired. Probably some of the Bibles you have, maybe the translation you have, says something different than inspired. What might it say? Anybody?
Mine says God breathed.
God breathed. Yes, thank you. That's the better translation, isn't it? That's exactly what happened. The better translation is this: all Scripture is breathed out from God. Breathed out from his very existence and into the mind of the writer of whatever book or letter it is. This is the same as what God did in the Garden of Eden. Remember Genesis 2, verse 7, God is creating and he gets to the point where he creates man. And this is what he says: then the Lord God formed a man from the ground and breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life. And man became a living being. The same thing happened there. God breathed out from himself the breath of life. And so what do we see here in this scripture? We see God breathing out the word of life. Did you get that? He breathed out the word of life. And that's where the Bible came from. Listen to what Peter wrote. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, 19 and 21. 2 Peter 1, 19 and 21. He talks about the same concept. He says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Here it is. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. What is he saying? Man had nothing to do with prophecy. And prophecy here is in the general sense. He's talking about all the words of Bible, in the Bible that God breathed out. Man had nothing to do with that. But it all came from the Holy Spirit breathed out from God. So, God breathed out and moved men along, blew them along to write the Word of God. So what do we see? We see Peter and we see Paul defending the veracity and the authenticity of Scripture. That's what they're doing. They were doing it to people in their day who were struggling with distractions in the world and the cities that they live in, people teaching false things, confusing people. And so Paul writes this to Timothy and says, don't be confused. Stick to what you know. And remember the source of Scripture. It's that God breathed it out. So Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, the word of the cross sometimes is foolishness. So why would he write that? Why would he write that? Because men so easily and casually reject the Word of God. So Paul's addressing that and he says, listen, there will be men who will try to confuse you. But don't be surprised, because to those who don't understand, whose mind hasn't been open to Scripture, it's foolishness to them, isn't it? He wrote, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So it seems that foolish to some people. But in the same passage, he said, but for those who are being saved, it is the gift. It's a gift that saves. The power of God saves a man. So men are either foolish, and it's foolishness to them, or the Word of God is the source of salvation. You ask yourself and ask those around you, which camp do you fall in? When you look at the Word of God, does it seem like foolishness to you? Or do you recognize it for what it is? The Word of God that's breathed out onto these pages through the work of men for our benefit. Well, listen, men don't reject the Bible because they're confused by it. They don't reject it because they think it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. They don't want it. They don't want anything to challenge the way they think. And so it contradicts them, and so they reject it. Let me tell you a quick story. About 20 years ago, I was working in the mountains of Rabai. It's a town above the city of Mombasa on the coast of Kenya and on the Indian Ocean. You can walk through these mountains. There are huge palm trees, coconut palms, just waving in the wind. You look out and see the crystal blue Indian Ocean. It's beautiful. The people live there. There's a tribe of people that live up there. So we're going to hut, village to village, sharing the gospel with these people. So we shared the gospel with this one group of people. When you go in the village, they all gather up because they want to see the white guy, the Musungu. They want to see you, right? What's this guy here for? So they all gather up, and so you have a captive audience. And it's fun to share the gospel with these people, right? So I shared the gospel with this whole tribe, and they do things very differently over there. You know, in Scripture, we read that when you went into a household, the head of the household listened, and if he accepted, then the whole house was saved. You remember that story? Well, that's what happens there in Africa. You talk to the chief and the elders, and if they decide that they want to follow Christ, then everybody follows Christ. So I share the gospel with these people, and they went off to deliberate. And I'm sitting under a coconut tree just waiting for these people to come back. Well, they came back. You know what they said? We cannot. We cannot accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I said, why? Why do you reject such good news? And you know what they said? Because we make our living making coconut alcohol. And if we accept Christ, we can't do that anymore. And so we're not going to give up our livelihood. See, they rejected. Because when confronted with the truth, they didn't want it. Because it contradicted the way that they wanted to live. Many men are that way, aren't they? They don't want to hear the truth. They don't accept the Word of God as authoritative over their life because they don't want to change. Well, since the first century, men have attempted to destroy the Word of God, haven't they? The Roman emperors, kings, governments, cultures, society has tried to destroy the Word of God. I was reading an article when I was preparing for this, and I found this very interesting, and I think you will too. During the Age of Enlightenment, there was a skeptic by the name of Voltaire. Have you heard of Voltaire? Well, Voltaire proclaimed that within 25 years of the time of this writing, that the Bible would be forgotten and Christianity would be a thing of the past. Well, what actually happened? 40 years after his death in 1778... the Bible was actually being printed in what was once Voltaire's own home. See, God preserves the Bible. God will not allow the Bible to be destroyed. He preserves every book, every epistle, every chapter, every paragraph, every word is preserved. It's preserved because Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not ever pass away." Do you remember that passage? It's a prophecy and a promise that's made to us. His word will never pass away. So let's answer our second question here briefly in the few minutes that I have left. What is the Bible for? Well, the Bible's for many things, but in this passage, Paul specifically says there are four things that it is for. Verse 16, one more time. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. We know the word profitable. What does profitable mean, guys?
Useful.
Helpful, beneficial, yes. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, there's a benefit to us, and here it is. It's for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped. Lars Keeley is going to talk about that part of this passage next week. But there are four things that it is good for. Now listen, the context here is creating great men, creating men of God. That's the context. And so Paul says to Timothy, here is what Scripture is for. It does these four things. It teaches you what is right. In reproof, it shows you what is not right. In correction, it shows you how to get right. And in training in righteousness, it teaches us how to stay right. That really simplifies what's going on there, isn't it? But it's absolute truth. Well, men, for 40 years, Leadership Ministries and Friday Morning Men's Fellowship has been doing exactly those things. And so here's some big words. For 40 years, we've relied on the inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative sufficiency of Scripture to do what? To mold us and to make us into the men, into the leaders that God wants us to be, actually that He expects us to be. On Monday, I'm going to send you an email to help you along with this. The email will have three books that we're going to recommend to help you understand the Bible. And then we're going to offer you a 7-week study in the Bible. And you can actually go to it right now. You can go to leadmen.org/Bible. And each morning you'll get a study for 7 days that'll help you through this whole idea of the Bible and biblical leadership. So if you want that, it'll be help for you. Now, in conclusion, what did Paul want Timothy to remember? What did Paul want Timothy to cling to in difficult times? It's the same thing that Paul wants you to remember. The same thing that Paul wants you to cling to in difficult days. And here it is. It is all Scripture breathed out from God for your benefit and for mine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you who have preserved your word breathed out from your very existence and recorded on the pages of the Scripture for our benefit. We thank you for it, Father, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All right, have a good time at your tables this morning, men.